Do you ever wonder what's happening behind the scenes of the multi-trillion dollar fashion industry? In the new podcast, Fashion People, Puck correspondent and 20-year fashion veteran Lauren Sherman and a rotating cast of industry insiders discuss what fashion people are really talking about behind the scenes of the star-studded business, from creative director switcheroos to M&A drama, DTC downfalls, and Met Gala mishaps. Fashion People, a presentation of Odyssey in partnership with Puck, is available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, I'm actually ready now.
Oh my goodness. No wasting that time there. Holy cow. Pizza. I don't even have the thing up in front of me. All right, I start today, I guess. Hey, everybody, I'm Kyle Rizdahl. Welcome back to Make Me Smart, Making Today Make Sense, although today it will be tougher than most, let me just say.
It just doesn't make sense. I'm Kimberly Adams. Nope. Thank you for joining us this Wednesday. Usually it would be a What Do You Want to Know Wednesday, but we're going to break format because I think all any of us really want to know at this point is how are we here again? And there's no good answers. How are you holding up, Kai?
So yesterday was rough. I couldn't not be on the news. It was really terrible, but I kept my phone coming out and flipping through my Twitter feed, and it was terrible. Today, less so, I think, because I had Marketplace to concentrate on and what I was going to say on Marketplace so I could distract myself. I don't know what's going to happen tonight. We'll see. What about you?
I'm holding up. I had the option to kind of turn it off last night, and I did. I know many of our colleagues in news didn't have that option, and really thinking about them and, of course, the families in Texas. But who I'm also really feeling for is all the parents who had to send their kids to school this morning in fear and terror. Because it's just so, so bad. And I suppose because, I suppose because people can listen to this podcast whenever, we should not just be referring to things broadly, but it's hard to think of any situation in which you might not know what's going on. But we are talking about the shooting at a school in Texas in which, the last I checked, 19 children died and two adults. Sorry, not 19 children died. 19 children were murdered along with two adults. And it's reopened the conversation about guns in this country after less than 2 weeks since our last mass shooting. I have many, many thoughts on this, but Kai, what are you thinking?
Well, I go back to where you started, which is how are we possibly here again? And we are possibly here again for one overarching reason, and that is the leaders of the Republican Party and members of the Republican Party in the United States Senate, and yes, a couple of Democrats, refuse to have any conversations beyond thoughts and prayers when it comes to gun safety legislation. And that's why we're here. That's why many things in our democracy are broken, but that's why we're here on this specific case. And I don't know what to do about that, because as long as we're here, things like Uvalde and Sandy Hook will and Buffalo and El Paso and all of those places will keep on happening. You know?
I saw somebody on Twitter today who quote tweeted all of the members of Congress with their sort of thoughts and prayers tweets with how much money they were getting from the NRA. The NRA, which is having its convention in Houston this weekend, where former President Trump is scheduled to speak along with Senator Ted Cruz, Texas Governor Greg Abbott, and others. And I was looking at Open Secrets because I always want to know about the money. And Open Secrets, which is a project from the Center for Responsive Politics, has a story about how gun rights groups set a new lobbying spending record in 2021. I'm trying to look and see how much it is. Let's see. These organizations, gun rights groups, spent a record $15.8 million on lobbying in 2021 and $2 million in the first quarter of 2022. These organizations have invested $190 million in lobbying efforts since 1998. And they've spent more than $114 million of that total since 2013. The other stories I was looking at today were we have to jump so quickly from one story to the next because this happens so often, and it made me think about the folks in Buffalo who are still recovering. In fact, the security guard who everyone is saying was such a hero, his funeral was today. And, you know, that racist attack killed, you know, so many people, and those funeral services are still happening. And so there were a couple stories today about how, you know, the people in Buffalo who are still trying to heal from what just happened there are also reacting to this shooting. And one person was saying, you know, there's nowhere we're safe. We're not safe at our churches. We're not safe in our grocery stores, and we're not safe in our schools. And then, you know, another story about hundreds of people needing mental health care after the Buffalo mass shooting and now the Texas mass shooting. In the work that we've been doing with Call to Mind, which is our mental health project that APM does, we just finished a special on youth mental health during COVID. And one of the things that came up was that the main way that kids get mental health care is at school, through school counselors, school psychologists, their teachers being their first line of defense, peer counselors. And when that school is the trauma, you know, how can it fill that gap as well?
I don't know.
I want to talk about solutions in a little bit, but there are a couple of other things that I think we should pay attention to. I also, you know, speaking of gun violence, we're marking 2 years since the murder of George Floyd today. And the Washington Post has an excerpt from a book from some of their reporters who have really looked at his life, not just his death, but the kind of life that he lived and how he ended up, you know, out at that convenience store that day and that infamous day. And there's an excerpt from the new book on the Washington Post's website, which is really thoughtful and really nice and nice to see the kind of person that he was before he was murdered. So, yes, the gun lobby is extraordinarily powerful, and yes, people should, you know, use their ability to vote despite gerrymandering, despite voter suppression laws, to, you know, exert whatever change they want to see in our country. But, you know, I was really encouraged today to see a lot of people actually trying to come up with other things to do, whether that be suggestions to fund buyback programs for weapons, whether that be local laws to change, you know, gun restrictions, or research on gun licensing, which has proven to somewhat be effective, but also, you know, potentially countering the NRA's lobbying money with more money to try to do something. The Second Amendment, you know, is such an, it's become such a thing that people latch onto. And I was particularly struck by news this week that the Supreme Court had another ruling that didn't quite get as much attention as some others, that basically takes a swing at the Sixth Amendment. And the Sixth Amendment is your right to effective counsel in a criminal case.
Yeah.
And so this is the Sixth Amendment basically says that, like, look, you have a right to counsel in a criminal case, even if you can't afford it. You have a right to... I'm just going to read it. In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusations, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. Now, up until recently, it had been, you know, kind of the standard and the precedent that that right to counsel meant the right to effective counsel. But on Monday, the court said that, I'm trying to get this right, I'm going to read from the Guardian summary of it.
Yeah.
In a 6-3 ruling, the newly dominant right-wing majority of the nation's highest court barred federal courts from hearing new evidence that was not previously presented in a state court as a result of the defendant's ineffective legal representation. The decision means that prisoners will no longer have recourse to federal judges even when they claim they were wrongfully convicted because their lawyers failed to conduct their cases properly. This case has to do with the case is called Shin versus Ramirez, and this case has to do with two gentlemen who are in death row. One of which, his advocates say, they have compelling evidence that he's innocent of the crime, but they're not being allowed to present that new evidence to get him off of death row. The other person, who is also on death row, the advocates believe that the new evidence they can bring will at least get him off of death row and reduce his sentence. But the court is saying no. And I was thinking about this because here is another amendment that has another constitutional right that just this week was meaningfully limited with very little fanfare. And yet we have the Second Amendment, which is being used to justify creating an environment that no other country in the world has, where we have dozens and hundreds of mass shootings every year.
Yeah, and I guess my it's not a response. My observation about this is that given the current makeup of the Supreme Court and the standing interpretation of the Second Amendment, which is that individuals, not just militias, right? Remember, the wording of the Second Amendment is a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. That first clause always gets forgotten, and it was generally expected that it meant states and state militias until 2008 in a case called Heller, in which Antonin Scalia and a majority of the court said, no, the Second Amendment applies to people. And I guess my point is that as long as the current makeup of the Supreme Court is what it is, where you have several people in the mold of Justice Scalia, the interpretation of the Second Amendment is not going to change, which makes gun regulation, even apart from the politics of it, makes it much more tricky, right? Heller did say, yes, you can regulate guns and firearms, but it just becomes all the trickier.
There's another
2 cents.
Gun rights case coming up before the court about a New York law that requires gun owners to show a special need or proper cause to carry for concealed carry. And that's, you know, we're waiting for that ruling as well.
It's gonna be a busy late May, early June at the court. What with the Alito judgment coming down and this one coming down and all of them.
Did I saw that you had a clip in the Slack. What was that?
Well, it was my rant about the Second Amendment. So we'll play it just because, you know, it's germane. So Warren Burger, who's Chief Justice of the United States from 1969 to 1986. went on the NewsHour with it was Charlene Hunter Gault actually doing the interview, but that's not important. Went on the NewsHour and talked about the Second Amendment. And here's what Warnberger said, the former Chief Justice of the United States.
This has been the subject of one of the greatest pieces of fraud. I repeat the word fraud on the American public by special interest groups that I have ever seen in my lifetime.
So that's Warnberger talking about the Second Amendment, special interest groups, in that case, specifically the National Rifle Association, which, although it has fallen on hard times lately, is still immensely powerful. And back in the early 90s was incredibly powerful. It's my point about the Second Amendment, right? As long as the current interpretation stands, it becomes all the much more difficult to enact new gun safety laws.
In the Senate, Chuck Schumer, Senate Majority Leader, is trying to at least bring a bill that the House has passed some time ago, at least to a vote. But his hands are pretty much tied because of the makeup of the Senate. But all of those things can change. We are heading into the midterms. We will see how it goes. And in the meantime, I've seen so many other suggestions. Somebody was suggesting that teachers go on strike until there's new gun laws.
Well, that just punishes the kids. I get that, but it just punishes the kids.
And the parents, right? And the teachers who lose the income.
Right.
I think that's the point of strikes, is to make it painful. But I don't know. There are definitely no smiles to be had today.
No. So let's go.
You got anything else?
Back tomorrow. No, I got nothing.
Yeah.
I got nothing. Yeah. We're back tomorrow.
I know we're all processing this, but you are welcome to send us your thoughts or your questions. We'll try to get to everybody's questions for What Do You Want to Know Wednesday, I guess, next week. Sorry to bail on it this time. But I hope everybody's taking care of yourselves and your families and hugging your kids. And, you know, if you pray for better. Our email is makemesmart@marketplace.org, or you can leave us a message at 508-UB-SMART. Make Me Smart is produced by Marissa Cabrera with help from our intern, Tiffany Bowie. Today's episode was engineered by Jake Cherry.
Bridget Bodner is in charge of this podcast. Donna Tam is in charge of all the podcasts. And that's what we got.
Yeah.
All the podcasts, Donna. You're in charge of all the podcasts.
All the things.
All the things.
Strong communication skills are critical for success in business and in life. Hi, I'm Matt Abrahams, and I host Stanford Graduate School of Business's Think Fast, Talk Smart, the podcast. Each week, I sit down with experts to discuss the best tips to help you with your communication skills, from conflict management to mastering small talk to tackling communication anxiety. Join us and start to develop and hone your communication skills. Listen every Tuesday wherever you get your podcasts or on YouTube.